warrior's mindset is about conditioning the mind, body, and spirit. It takes practice, commitment, vision, goal setting, determination, sharp focus, respect, and discipline. Once you learn it, you can apply it to all aspects of your life. The warrior's mindset prepares you for the largest competition ever, the competition against self.
All right, everybody, welcome to Willie the Bam Johnson's Warriors Mindset. Y'all know how we do it. We flip the script. We take everything that's negative and we flip it into something positive. We don't care how low you are. We don't care what's going on in your life, but we got to flip it and we got to make it positive, from entrepreneurship to everything in life and sports or whatever it may be. Warriors Mindset is what it takes in order for you to be successful in the world. You know, we had a lot of guests on this show, man. I mean, Billy Blanks, you name it. We got Warren Hutland coming up next from the House Party movie. I mean, and remember, this show ain't about just martial arts. It's about life as a whole, you know, and I'm always about the next generation of champions. We have a young man here that's been, you know, really doing an incredible job in the world of youth MMA on all levels, from point MMA to, you know, the United States Fight League, which is allows you to go a little bit beyond point MMA as well as boxing. You know, we got Mr. Rowan. Talk to me, young man. Give me a little intro. Get an audience. Give the people a little bit of intro on who you are, young man.
What's up, everybody? I'm the USA national champ at 97 pounds. I'm with the world, really USA team. I am a regional champion in boxing, and I have been in point MMA for about 2 years. It's what started my career, my MMA career, and about 4 years actually. And it's a great start for any type of MMA or karate out there.
So, tell them how to say your name correctly, because I know I'd be slipping up sometimes.
It's Ronan Swinson.
All right. Tell your dad, say hello, man. He the man.
Hey, everybody. Just driving. We just got back from workout. So we'll get into a room so you can hear us better.
So tell us, what is a day like for you, young man, when you're getting up striving to become the future of MMA?
So some days it's just I wake up, go to school, and then my dad will pick me up, drive me to a workout for about 2 to 3 hours, it might be 4. And then another day, I'll have to wake up at 4:45 in the morning to get over to practice at 5. And then I'll work out from 5 until I have school, which is 7:30. Then I'll do school, then my dad will pick me up and bring me over to another workout. And then I go home and sleep, eat and sleep.
So that's the schedule of a warrior, man. I mean, in the midst of COVID right now, first of all, tell us, what does the warrior mindset mean to you? And we also want your dad to tell us what it means to him as a parent. But you go first.
Warrior spirit means to me, you have to push yourself to the limits, no matter if it's physical or mental. You always have to challenge yourself. Never give up, no matter how tough it is. And there's just no stopping you. There's no, you have most steam and you can't stop.
I don't know if I can beat that answer. That was pretty good for warrior mindset. I guess warrior mindset would just be that you're ready for any challenge, and that you've trained and prepared yourself at all times to be ready for that challenge. So it's not just a one night type thing where I'm gonna go do this fight. It's a way of life where life is hard and life isn't fair, so you need to be ready for it. And being a warrior and being ready to go to battle or go to war at all times is a good way of life, because you always feel confident and you always feel ready. And Ronan's a very good example of that. He never backs down. Almost a strange example of it, of just being a warrior and not ever letting your nerves get to you or never being afraid or always accepting every challenge, but at the same time, always staying prepared for those challenges.
Yes, sir. So tell me, I mean, in the midst of COVID, you know, everybody, some kids are just so lazy. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad. Some kids don't want, you know, they, if their parents are in the room, they'll probably work a little bit, but they really, they taking this like it's a chance to break, just to take a chill pill, be on video games all day, eat whatever they want to do, and just be irresponsible. To me, champions do what they want to, what they have to, and losers do what they want to. How would you describe that?
Losers, they, when something comes around like COVID, they just stop. I had to stop for a little bit, but me and my dad, we didn't let COVID just stop us. We set up a whole gym in our garage so we could keep training, and we had these online classes that we had to do. So we took as many online classes as we could, and we tried to get as much mat time as we possibly could. And most people during COVID just, they wait until everything comes back up. And when you take that long of a break, it just, it doesn't help. And when you go back into those types of sports like MMA, you just won't, it won't feel the same. So you always have to keep that mindset of staying in MMA. And no matter what comes, like, in your path, whatever obstacles come in your path, you can't let that stop you.
Let your dad tell us how, as a parent, how did he have to make the adjustments? Him and mommy, what did y'all have to do to just to keep them positive and get them through this anxiety and all this negativity?
Right. There's a lot of negativity, and rightfully so. COVID isn't a good thing, but there's always opportunities, even in the worst of times, to better yourself and to make a situation turn something that seems like it's detrimental into something that's helpful. And being able to rest your body is a great thing sometimes when you're going really, really hard. I'm always looking at Ronan being like, man, he needs to take a few months off. So, I mean, being able to just use online resources and slow it down a little bit, to work more on technical things and maybe a little bit of strength training and some of those things you want to do, but since you're always fighting, you can. That was a great opportunity in COVID. Online classes, obviously, being able to train, like, I'm pretty sure you started your online class as well, and being able to train with the best of the best from long distances showed us that sometimes you don't need to use your local resources. Sometimes if we were in California, we could still take your classes. Mm. Or if you're on the West Coast, you could still take BAM's classes. So things like that were kind of eye-opening and just kind of helped us out. And then also, I mean, we're not all about win-lose, but when everyone else is slacking off, but they're still holding events and you're going hard, I mean, you could take some challenges and have that opportunity because you're working hard to accomplish things and win titles or something that wasn't possible before. So, you know, that was kind of a neat experience too, taking on some other challenges. And because COVID, the other people weren't on their best game. So Ronan was able to dominate.
It's funny, and I want to hold both of y'all to this. I remember when I was competing, sometimes I would show up at like a major event and nobody would be in my division. And then I started like, man, I don't want to compete, man. And the judge told me, he said, didn't you train? I said, yes, sir. He said, didn't you come here to win? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, do this division just like the best person in the world was in that division. You know, what was that like? On the just like, look, I don't care who here and who not here. I'm going to be a showman. I'm going to be a champ. If I'm here by myself, I'm going to give it 110%. What is that feeling and that commitment like?
So if I go over to a tournament and there's no one there,
no matter what, we're going to get a match or two. And if I go over to a fight, we're always going to get a fight. It doesn't matter if the kid is bigger, older, or anything like that. If there's no one for me to fight that's my age, my weight, we're always looking for someone that just wants to take on the challenge. And we never really want to go against someone smaller than me, especially younger than me.
Right.
But we're always looking for the bigger challenge, which is bigger people, kids that have more experience, and kids that are older. So it's always good to challenge yourself.
Right. Your dad, let me ask you a question as a parent. Because one time I remember we were doing a jiu-jitsu, and my daughter, she was punished. So she wasn't even adult. So she was punished, and I was judging the jiu-jitsu division, and the older lady didn't have anybody to win. So, I mean, to fight. So she thought she was going to get the money just like without no fight. I said, hold up, man. You ain't just going to walk away with the money like that. I'm going to find somebody for you to fight, right? So I went outside, and my daughter was sitting out there punished. I said, look, part of your punishment is that you got to go and fight this woman. And if you win, you don't get the money because you're punished. Well, she went in and she fought and she won. But the experience that it gave her as she now is an adult, what is that like as a parent to raise the standards and like, look, I don't care. You're going to step your game up right now because I know how it's going to manifest in your future. What is that like as a parent, sir?
I mean, you're going to laugh at my reasons why, but if I'm going to go somewhere and spend 8 hours or whatever waiting for a fight or waiting for this or that, I'm not going to have him fight someone that he's just going to dominate. It's just a waste of time.
Right.
It feels good to win, but, you know, I'd rather be close or be a challenge, you know? So I get what you're saying. Why do we do it that much? But honestly, that's the reason why I'm not all there, you know. I'm a little irresponsible, obviously. You know, no one can argue that. But I also enjoy watching him and watching him have a challenge. That's why we travel and that's why we go do those things. I know a lot of people find that that there's benefits to him as he grows up, and I'm sure there is, and I'm sure his mindset is very strong, and he's going to be able to accomplish whatever he's going to accomplish and set the goals and everything. But I'm just telling the truth. The reason why he's always challenged is because while I'm sitting there, I want to watch something that's exciting and gets my adrenaline going, not just watching him just beat up on someone. And also, of course, you have to push yourself to get better. And I've seen it a million times when you just sit there and you just win, you're not really improving. And I'm about efficiency. And when we are taking them around for wrestling, boxing, karate, anything, the only way to get better is to go against the best. The best make you better. You know, in training, it's good to sit there and practice your techniques and try out new things on the young guy. Probably 75% of the time you should be going, like, in training you should go against people that when you're technically sound, you should go against people that are like you or under you in their experience. But when you're fighting or when you're sparring hard, that 25% of the time you always have to be challenging yourself with the bigger and better, because that's how you become better and be able to turn those guys into the guys that are your regular training partners.
Well, I agree with you on that, because I mean, even Point MMA was discovered because I just love training. You know, I people say, do you come from Kung Fu? Well, I just come from a love with street fighting. So I just believe that love with street fighting can adapt me to everywhere I go. So I always try to find out the similarities of a fight. So when we finally came up with Point MMA, it was just that I always swept. We always fought hard. I mean, we just love fighting, man. I just come up fighting. And I just realized that was something that was weak in the martial arts, because I think people were doing exactly what you say. Not training hard, not punching hard. You know what I mean? You get a bust of lip, suck it up, go back out there, wipe off that blood. Let's go. I know some people might disagree, but I believe until you have been to that, you can't really strive to go to a higher level. So I do agree that it's all about creativity, and that's what Point MMA. I think for us, what Point MMA allows you to do, it attests it. If I can stop a punch an inch away from your face, I can knock you out. And a lot of people don't understand that. And I can hit you hard enough. And if I can take a blow, I can come back. That experience when you first came into Point MMA, many people thought we was crazy. You know, well, like your dad said, I'm probably always say when I work out, you got to call 911 because I'm going to come up with something really crazy that's going to make you like, oh, my God, is he really doing this? But I know that a real fight or even a competition against the highest level, it's never going to be like you expect. It's always going to be something out of the box. What was that experience like for you the first time with Point MMA when you entered? Did you hear me?
So my first time doing Point MMA was my first fight. And it was against a real good kid, and he had a lot of experience, which I wasn't expecting. And going into your first fight, especially Point MMA, it's nerve-wracking. And I didn't have much experience at the time. My dad just signed me up for a bunch of the tournaments that they had, or that you had. And I went in there, and the first fight is usually the fight that determines if you're if you want to fight or if you just do it for self-defense or something. And when I went in there, I didn't win, but I came out feeling like, you know, I wanted to do more, and I wanted to prove myself that I'm better than what that performance was. And so I started training more and more, and I went to more events for Point MMA, and I just got better and better, and I fell in love with fighting.
And now you're a world champion. I mean, Daddy, yeah. I mean, you saying that, you know, now he's a world champion. I mean, I believe in training. I believe in taking it to the max. I know people call, and would you agree, Dad? Don't we make it safe for you when you're there? I'm right there in the middle of the ring when people are getting a little heated. I mean, you describe as a parent, how safe and how challenging and competitive is Point MMA for the youth?
I mean, safe? I mean, none of this stuff is safe. You definitely are right there, and which you don't know how much I appreciate having your presence as a referee and the way you handle the situation, read the kids, and make sure that it is a safe environment. I think that has a lot to do with you making it safe, but without you, no, I don't think that's safe because you understand, you push these kids to the limit. When you were saying about self-defense and a real street fight and being able to handle yourself, I mean, you have nailed it with Point MMA with the structure and the way you handle things and the speed and the pressure you put on the kids to put on a performance and use different techniques. And then also the way you break it up when there are size differences. I think you're just a professional at handling those very aggressive, very self-defense focused events. So I completely agree with you. You wanted to make an event that or a competition that makes someone ready for a street fight, and you did it. And for Ronan, just a whole Point MMA experience. There's no one that's going to be able to catch him off guard because of Point MMA. It's a lot based on just quick action, quick response. It's not the sport side of martial arts. Point MMA is the self-defense, practical, live version of a fight. And you can ask Ronan if there's any fight that he feels the most nerves on, and then you know, not compared to like I want to win nationals MMA. There's a lot of nerves, but right. that feeling of I'm going to be in a fight and it's going to be fast and it's going to be quick. And I got to be on my best, at my best to defend myself. Then, that's point MA. And, yeah. And that translates right into sports because there's always that big, strong athlete that's going to come out from the, from in boxing or anything else and just try to waste all his stamina in 30 seconds, just going hard on you. I mean, they're just going to go ham. And if you can't handle that situation, then you're not going to be able to move forward in the sport. Those are the guys that are always the first in the tournaments. They just worked out. They haven't had much experience, but they're bringing it. And that's one of the first things you learn in point MMA. And of course, there's a lot once you get to another technical point MMA fighter, then it goes back to the sport and they're very technical. But really, the as far as handling every aspect of martial arts and self-defense and the sport, your format is great. It's perfect. It's the best. It's been around longer than everyone else too. People don't realize this, but you know, especially for the kids, there's all these new organizations coming up with all these good ideas. I'm kind of sitting back going, everything that Ronan has learned or has been taught in live combat has been from point MMA. And then everything he's kind of built after that is from that point MMA base. So yeah, you're right. It's amazing for self-defense. And then that translates later on into a great base for sport fighting.
Right. And I mean, Ron, I think, you know, when you hear everybody talking about bullying, you know, I came up and your dad probably agreed. We didn't call it bullying. It was just like a disagreement. You know, you have a disagreement, we're going to fight it out and become the best of friends. But how confident are you now? And I know you didn't have moments where kids probably tried you at school and tried to bully you, but how has your experience with competing made you a better prepared person that deals with negative encounters, be it bullying or whatever it may be in life as a whole?
Well, yeah, I did have a few bullies when I was younger, and they all came from older kids. And I never wanted to fight them because I was always that type of kid that didn't want to get in trouble. Until I got the permission from my dad, which is, you know, go for it. But then after competing and after seeing, you know, like what I could do and how I could just make people just back off. Really, no one has ever messed with me since I've started competing at a high level. But there has been a few kids when I was competing just at, you know, like local tournaments, and they haven't, you know, it's not going to be a fun time for them.
Yeah.
And if anybody does ever try to bully me or anything, I'm not going to try to instigate it. I'm not going to try to start it. But, you know, I know that if they start it and I come out and I, you know, beat him up or something, I'm not the one to blame, but it's just using self-defense and in a way it's a little okay.
But let me ask you something, because some people don't get this. In competition at the highest level, you get competitors that be looking at you like, yo, what up? Or they walk in the room and hit you with the shoulder. You know, it's things in competition that, and I can see your smile on your face. It's like, I know when I was competing, it's like, come on, man. I would purposely stir you down or walk in the position to make you move, because I know if I can get in your head, I already got you. I mean, how do you deal with that champion's game of when people try on you like that before a fight, after a fight, during a fight?
I think it's pretty hard to get inside my head. No one that I fought yet has been able to get inside my head. Cause it's not about outside of the fight. It's when you're in that cage, what can you do to me? And what can you, what's the worst you could do to me? And I'm always going into the fight, I'm always confident, And I always know that I could take control at whatever time. And if they ever try to bump into me or stare me down or try to trash talk, you know, that just goes in and out of my head. I do not care. Like, you can say all of that, and I'll go into the cage and still perform the same. Yeah. There's nothing that you could do that will make me not perform as well.
What is it like? I know as a champ, when you got the best guy in the world, and he comes like, baby, you gonna bring it today? Cause I'm ready. Let's go, man. And you in that fight, and he hits you, and you hit him back. And it's like, to the outside world, it looked like y'all hitting too hard, but y'all in a banging competition where the rhythm feels so good. When the ref break you up, be like, man, why you stop me, man? Come on, man. What is that feeling like? I can see the smile in your face, man. Talk to me.
When you're in the cage, it's just whoever gives up first, or it's not really about who's the harder hitter, because you get through that. You get through that pain. You can't really feel the pain when you're in there. And it's ever who just, you know, gasses out, whoever gives up. And it also matters about technique a lot. But yeah, when you're in a flurry, and when you're in a flurry, it's first one to stop. But when you're in a flurry and then the ref stops it, it's like both of y'all stopped, but who would have stopped first? So what's the point of the ref stopping it? that is kind of annoying, because you want to show the refs that you can win that flurry when you're in it, and you can win the fight, and you'll be the stronger and bigger man when you're in that flurry. So it does suck when the ref just comes in and stops it.
Let me ask your dad. So daddy, what is it like? Cause I know my daughter, I remember one time we used to do 6 o'clock in the morning classes. So if you was bad, everybody came into the dojo at 5:30. That was called fight class. Sometimes we wouldn't even have equipment. And I remember one of those moments, my daughter broke a guy's nose. So during the workout, I couldn't tell him, but I always tell everybody, I know my daughter can represent, boy, because she broke a nose one time. I ain't promoting it like that, but as a parent, when your kid, even Messiah, he had a moment where he had to stand up to the bully. You know, what is that like as a parent when you can feel real? You don't want them to fight. But when you know they can handle their own, it's not about win or lose, but it's stand up as a woman or a man and be that warrior. What is that feeling like for you as a parent?
It's great to know that he has that confidence to stand up for himself when he needs to. I know. I mean, you just bring knives and guns into the situation and everything's back to the way it was, you know, because he was bullied. He was bullied, and it was kind of hard. I did tell him to just, I mean, you've been training your whole life, just take the guy out, you know, and he did and got suspended and all that other stuff. And that wasn't it. It just, you know, it's for up until like fifth grade, it was every single day, you know, and then now he gets bullied, but I don't even think he notices it just because it's like, you know, people try things, but you know, after you develop that confidence of being able to stand up for yourself, then it just doesn't happen to you anymore. I watch him handle the situations and he's just not getting bullied anymore. It's not going to happen. So now his ability to, I mean, it's always fun as a parent to know you. We were actually down in this, in National Harbor, and we were sitting in some chairs and he was playing football on the, on this mat. And then, he juked the kid a couple times, and the kid was bigger and older and whatever. And, the kid wasn't too happy about it. So he sits down in the chair next to me and the kid just walks up and kicks him in the shin, right? Straight up kicks him. And then Ronan just stands up, double legs him, slams him in the ground, and then sits down like this is normal ops. It felt very aggressive to me. Wow, that was an aggressive response, you know, like, and the kid walked up and kicked him again, just did the same exact thing. And Ronan just slammed him into the ground, you know, and then gave him a look and then just sat right back down. And then the kid left. And I was just like, I mean, that's not I like the fighting and all that, but yeah, that was, to me, I was like, man, that was pretty good to see that you just handled it, didn't hurt him, showed him that he has no chance,
right,
you know, and then moved on. But yeah, the bowling thing is was a problem, and this is one of those instances where, and I'm sure there's a lot of them with all these combat sports, where sometimes you face that challenge, and then for the rest of your life, it doesn't have to be fighting or anything else. I mean, the workplace, we all know it. You're just always in a competitive, there's always bullies, you know? And the first time you stand up to yourself and actually win the confrontation, it makes you want to do that every time after that, verbally, just like if someone screws you over, you're always like, well, I'm not going to be the loser in this situation. So yeah, that was installed in him. And I'm not trying to sit there and say point MMA is everything, but yeah, you know, things got a little better after he did point MMA and realized that all the stuff he'd been practicing put into place. You know, he built that confidence enough to know that, yeah, I can handle myself in these situations at school, you know?
And you know, I mean, and it's funny that you bring in point MMA, and I think without, it goes back again where I look, when a martial arts school begins to become so commercial, and I'm asking you as a parent, because we always about getting real. When contracts and money takes precedence over the development of the individual, we begin to have a society where everything is bullying. We got kids that sometimes make it through just to make it through. They can't, when at one moment in life, everybody gonna have to deal with something that's gonna be so devastating all by yourself. And if you are not taught to overcome that by yourself and suck it up and get back in there, what can that do to the future of our youth if we allow martial arts schools to continue to function like that, competitions to continue to function like that, you know, or some promoter who want to make up something just so he can make money and not develop the kid? Talk to me, sir.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, you see it all the time. I mean, even jiu-jitsu, which was pretty much, you know, all these sports, all these combat sports, they start of something that's very, very effective. And then it slowly just bleeds down because of money. People are trying to make money off this stuff. And then, you know, we were at a tournament and the crowd cheered when they said that there's too many, we're not going to do tournament brackets. We're just going to do one-on-one. So that means everyone's going to get either first or second, and the crowd cheered. So they're paying money to do less matches and to do just one match, but they're all happy that they get first or second. That's not the point of all this. The point is to challenge our youth, and it's a nice environment where they can be put in a place where they face their fears, and they train and they prepare, and because they trained or prepared, win or lose, they performed. And they kept themselves safe, and they stood up for themselves. They faced that fear, and that's one of the best parts about martial arts. So yeah, of course we don't need to dumb things down. You know, we dumb down all the traditional martial arts, and then, you know, and then these new ones come out like jiu-jitsu, and now we're starting to dumb down jiu-jitsu. You know, the ones that just seem to hold their own are wrestling, boxing, and point MMA are the ones that they're the ones that are real. You stand there, you look at that guy, that's all you got, you know? I mean, everyone knows there's no games in any of those sports. And those are the ones that we kind of steer towards for. And Muay Thai, we found Muay Thai's pretty good as well.
Yeah, my Muay Thai teacher named Master K, and I just, I mean, as a parent, and just, I know I don't want any kid to ever have to go through what I went through, but if you don't challenge them and allow them to overcome the obstacles in a loving and caring environment, when they out there, they're not going to know how to deal with it, and boom, it's going to be over and done with. Let me ask you, young man, a question here. Now we know. What is your goal? What is one of the goals? What is, as you when you become an adult, what do you hope to achieve? I think you're gonna be a UFC champ. That's what I tell everybody. I said, nah, he's gonna be a champ of the world, man. He committed that, and I can see that in his blood. Talk to her. Tell the world what your goal is.
One of my goals is to definitely make it into some type of MMA organization, preferably UFC. But if I make it into one or Pride Championships, I'll accept that as well. But it's hard to get into those types of organizations. But if I keep working as hard as I am right now, maybe even a little more as I get older, I'm pretty positive that I'll have a good chance of getting into one of those organizations. It's not going to be an easy road, though. It's definitely going to be a hard road just to get into like a amateur organization, just so I could get into, get one of the owners of Pride 1 or UFC to just look at me and look at what talent I have. And then they have to bring me into their organization, and they have to see if I'm, worthy for that, for fighting in the pro MMA divisions.
Well, one of the things I will tell you, I know Scott Kike Coker, who's the owner of Bellator, and Raymond Daniels, who's like one of the most phenomenal fighters. You heard of Raymond Daniels before, right? Yeah, he used to be a point fighter. We all came up. He's on the mixtapes, everything. And as a matter of fact, Scott Coker, we all went through a black belt cycle, come from Ernie Ray's West Coast Taekwondo. Brother, when I tell you you're going down the right path, all you got to do is keep on training. And I think one of the things that most people miss, some people might not understand Conor McGregor, but Conor McGregor understands about branding and marketing. You know, at the end of the day, You gotta make yourself a marketable hero to the people. And it's sad that, the people that stand out in anything, you can't just be an athlete. I mean, think about Mike Tyson. He now is a brand, but when he was fighting, he was just an athlete. He realized that, hold up, I'm the greatest in the world, but George Foreman, and your dad know who these people are, but George Foreman making more money than I'm making, and he ain't even a world champion. I think how important is branding and marketing yourself, especially today with social media and all those things? How important is that to you? And what would you say to another kid that needs to capitalize on that right now?
Social media is very important, and branding yourself and putting yourself out there is very important. I didn't understand that until my dad made an Instagram account for me. Then, I was like, this isn't going to turn into anything. It's just going to be something for my fights to be on, maybe for family to see or for my friends to see or stuff like that. Then, I started to get like 1,000 followers. Then he made a TikTok, and I also thought that was just going to be another bust. And it just kept growing and growing and growing. And then soon I had like 50K on TikTok and about 7,000 on Instagram. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. And putting yourself out there also, there's some downsides to it. Like, you're going to have a ton of haters, but that's another obstacle you're going to have to face throughout branding yourself and getting yourself out there. And soon it'll just keep growing and growing. And now, you have 160K and you have 10K on Instagram, and there's just everybody you walk around, not everybody, but like if you go to an event, there's people that know you. And it's important to get yourself out there, because it's also a really good way to make money, not at the young age. I haven't made any money really, but you also get sponsors. I only have one sponsor right now, and one right now is enough. I feel like that's great, because I'm only 13 and I already have a sponsor, and I have two social media that are just blowing up, and I don't even run them. It's my dad and my brother. And you need people to run it for you, because you're doing all this work, you're working out and you're training, you don't have time to do all that. And if you do have time, that's that's good. That's great. But you need the, you need people for you to like edit videos and make sure that your videos are still getting follows and likes and all this, and so you could keep growing your status.
Well, one of the things that I say to you is really important. I don't know if you see that back there. That right there is when I used to be on a TV show called WMAC Masters. So that goes right there once again, as a little kid starting off dreaming, just like you, hoping that I could become a world champion, getting on the bus. I used to get on the bus for like 3 days. And once I get off the bus, I go and compete. Then I would leave and come back home because we really couldn't afford those other things. But when I, like what your dad is doing, all of my kids now, I make it possible for them to be able to at least live their dream. So the things that you're doing right now, I don't even know how many followers you have. I just know what type of person you are. So that's why I want you on the radio show. And that's why we want you to be in the movie. Still got an audition, but we know you're going to make it. But that's because of your personality, your determination, and your parents, because you're the future. Just like Messiah and all of you guys are the future. And the next generation of children need to have people that they can look up to and that can be honest and real with them. And I believe that's in your spirit. Daddy, how do you feel about that?
What's the question again? There's a lot of questions in there.
We're just talking about branding and marketing, just how important it is for you as a parent to make sure he represents, you know, at the end of the day, it's not a fake. He's a real person that's just sharing his life experiences with the world. How important is that to you as a parent?
It's very important. It's a dangerous road, because of all the haters and the emotional well-being of your kid. And he's very stable, and he understands things and how the world works. So, but there's a lot of negativity with putting yourself out there as well, that you, mm-hmm. that you should be aware of when you're doing that. But, the world's changing, and that's the way it's going to be. You're going to, like, the amount of Instagram followers you have, the amount of TikTok followers you have in the future, that's going to dictate what organizations want you. So, I mean, I may be wrong at this, but I guarantee if you have a large social media presence that you're going to be able to pick up jobs.
Yes,
and whether, and when you're young, if you have a talent, you should put yourself out there, even if you stop. You know, I mean, I was really surprised to hear him say that all about being a fighter when he gets older. That wasn't really in the cards, but I guess he's gotten to the point where it makes a lot of sense to him because he's being so successful that seems like he was planning on being an architect for
most of the time. But it sounds like, you know, it sounds like maybe that's the way to go. But even if he was an architect or he was something else, having a large social media presence nowadays and having that brand is going to be more and more powerful in the future. So, yeah, I think it's super important. I think everyone should start now. I'm not sure if the kids should be doing it themselves.
Right.
I'm not that sold on social media being that great for a kid, especially a kid that has a lot of school and working out and all this other stuff. Social media can kind of suck you in, but parents putting their children out there when they're talented, and then kids learning a little bit about social media and building a brand and putting themselves out there is really good. And for him, it's sort of a motivational tool too. I mean, when you're putting yourself out there, it's hard to lose. So you're going to prepare yourself to make sure that you don't get embarrassed when you do your sport. Yeah, you want to be successful, and you're showing everyone. I mean, you know all about Brandon and everything. It's a motivator right there. When you're putting yourself out there, you want to do good. You don't want to do bad. Right. So,
And as a parent, I ask you, because I know it's funny. I have five kids, and they all do martial arts, but I don't push them to. I don't live my dreams through them. How important is it for a parent to allow a kid just the freedom to just be who they want to be and support them in the process?
We're having technical issues.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, we can hear you now.
Okay, I said, That's all right. I was saying, you know, all of my kids, they do martial arts, but they'll tell you, I did not want them to do martial arts. Even the little ones there, I don't want them to do martial arts. It's just like, you have to work until you get to a point to go on your own. So you got to do it now, because I know what to do for you. But in the end, I want them to do whatever they want to do. And I see a lot of parents who live their dreams through their kids. I mean, how important is it for you as a parent to just allow him the freedom to just grow and be the man he wants to become? And you just support him, even when some of the things might not be what you want. How important is that for a parent? Because, I mean, what would you say to that?
I have a 23-year-old and I have a 21-year-old, so I've learned some lessons on. It's hard as a parent to not live through your kids.
Yeah.
It's hard. And you know, at 13, they're going to quit if they want to quit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, you could sit there and like physically force them to go on from 13 to 15. But you're not accomplishing much, yeah. You know? I mean, you can sit there with, if they're really, really, really good at something and then they just quit, you don't go, okay, quit. You still push them for a couple months.
Right, okay.
You know, but, and then living through your kids, I'm sure you experience the same thing. Yeah, I mean, you do. It's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, people sit there and make fun of you for it, and then, you know, you just got to, be careful about the abusive side. You can't live through them and abuse them.
Yeah,
you know, like, especially if they don't. My first kid, he just didn't have it. I'm very lucky that my first kid, he has a lot of other talents.
Yeah,
but he just isn't a fighter.
Right.
You know, and I'm very lucky that my first kid wasn't a fighter, so I can appreciate the next kids that do like it. But at the same time, I know that they make their own decisions.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, I understand. I just told you about motivation and everything. Yeah. We set them in that direction. We provide them with the coaches push them in that direction. The social media pushes. So he has a ton of pressure, the belt, everything.
Right.
He has a ton of pressure to stay in fighting, but he saw my kids quit. My other ones, he knows there's mechanisms in place.
Yeah.
You just sit down and you say, no, it ain't happening. I'm done. And there ain't nothing I can do with that without Child Protective Services coming.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So he happens to be good at it. And yeah,
but,
I mean, I lived through it. I like karate. I've always been doing karate. I like combat sports. Do I like watching my son compete? Yeah. Or else I wouldn't drive to Pennsylvania and watch him, you know?
You know, as a parent, the hardest thing for me and my wife, because you know my wife, she's a co-founder of Point MMA, and she's a black belt in herself, a legend. The hardest thing is when I'm judging and my kids fighting, and I got to be neutral, man. It is so, it's like, we'll laugh about it, man. I remember one time we was doing Point MMA at the Arnold Schwarzenegger event. And Messiah was fighting this kid who was like a sambo wrestler, and they were doing good. And then it got tied up, and I'm like, man, I'm like, somebody got to tell him what to do. I can't say nothing because I got to be like a neutral judge, right? I'm just hoping, man. I hope he figure out, man, hit him with an axe kick. Just stop him every time he tried to go down. And eventually, when he figured it out, and he won, I was happy. But I try to do whatever I can do to never judge my kids, man.
Right.
It's a horrible experience, man. But like you say, it's enjoyable too when you're on the sideline and you can witness their greatness. I mean, and that's what you're saying, correct?
Correct. I do caution parents on that coaching aspect. The parent is there to provide emotional support.
Yeah.
And when you start becoming a coach, you know, like you were saying, when you're judged, that's where those conflicts come in place. Just be there to emotionally support them and just make sure the coach is the right person to be pushing them in the other directions.
Well, if a parent is on this call watching this at Point MMA, if you get out of hand, we kicking you out. Yeah, we'll play that.
There's going to be no parent coaching.
Yeah, ain't no kill them. We hurt him, break his back. Nah, we putting you out. You got to go. And the theory behind that, and I think once again, as a teacher, you see that when somebody starts throwing those sort of hate words, it turned the match into violent. It don't make it fun anymore. So for any parent out there, just take a chill. Support your kid. You know, don't be talking about kill him. Throw the table at him. You know what I'm saying? Hit him across the
head. Right. So parents need to big picture. The parents need to go to big picture. They're so in the moment. It's like, this moment isn't what it's all about. It ain't the moment. It's everything. Think of the big picture of what you're doing.
Do you know the reason why I'm this way? We used to give tournaments. I didn't almost got in fist fight to tournaments. So I said, look, I don't want to do it no more. If it wasn't for Point MMA, I wouldn't be doing sport karate or what I'm doing now. And that's why I stopped doing adults. I just want to do the kids, because adults, man, they get a little too heated. Like, they fighting for a UFC title or something.
Oh, you don't think we loved your adult fights, man? Yeah. Did you like his adult fight?
Yeah. It's brutal, man.
Those are the best fights there were. I was sitting there going, man, my wife and I are just staring at each other like, this is better than UFC. This is better than anything.
We still do the men, but man, every time we gotta do that, I'm like, gotta get ready for this one. So, in closing, what would you say? Good morning, sir. We ending now, Mr. Utland. How are you, sir?
Yes, sir, brother. Thank you.
We got one of the features of the MMA world. I'm rolling. Show him your face. He's a current world champion in MMA. And something that we're working on, we got him being a part of. This is Mr. Great, Mr. Hutland of House Party, Boomerang, and all that good stuff, young man. Say hello.
Us.
All right, Rowan, before we let you go, if you could say anything to a kid out there that has to deal with the responsibilities of being positive during COVID-19 and being respectful to their parents and getting good grades, what would you say to them right now in closing?
Just, I'd say there's going to be obstacles in your life. And this is probably the biggest one right now for any of us. And you just gotta wait it out, and you have to have a strong mind. You have to have a good mental side of your part. And if you're in any type of sports, try to make it work. Try to, set up a little thing in your garage. If you don't have a garage, if you have a backyard, try to set up something in your backyard. If you don't have any of those, just, you know, there's other stuff you could do. You could run outside, you could do push-ups while commercials are playing on the TV. You could do a lot of stuff just to work your body and keep that confidence going. And just try to stay safe. Try not to get COVID, you know, wear your mask when you're outside, stay 6 feet apart, and always stay on top of your grades in school, and just always push yourself. Always make sure you're the best at everything that you do.
All right, guys, that's Mr. Rowan. He got something coming up. He gonna be better than Mr. T. He gonna be better than the Russian in the Rocky movie. Because this thing that we got coming up, man, he's going to be the most devastating villain on the planet. Brother, I cannot wait. We are pushing, and we're looking forward to you working on your acting so you can be the next superstar, as well as being the next UFC champ. All right?
All right.
Hey, Daddy, see you later, Daddy.
Thanks, as always, Coach. We'll see you soon.
The Warrior's Mindset is about conditioning the mind, body, and spirit. It takes practice, commitment, vision, goal setting, determination, sharp focus, respect, and discipline. Once you learn it, you can apply it to all aspects of your life. The Warrior's Mindset prepares you for the largest competition ever, the competition against self.